You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane Grohl of the DevOps Institute, and I hope everybody's having an amazing skill up day today, all about value stream management. For this panel, I'm really excited about the folks that are joining me today because we're going to talk about human connections. And as part of this, we're going to discuss networking, communities, and professional associations, some of the differences, some of the similarities, and why it's important for the humans at DevOps to build those connections, whether in person or remotely, for your own social, psychological, and professional goals. So let me introduce our panel. So Andre Pino, who is CMO of Media Ops, Vanessa Vallely of We Are the City, and Jason Baum, Director of Membership at DevOps Institute. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience? So Andre, why don't you go first?
Okay. I'm Andre Pino with Media Ops, and I've recently joined Media Ops from a company called CloudBees. And of course, while I was at CloudBees, I had the privilege of working with one of the largest open source communities, the Jenkins community, and gained a lot of experience in how open source communities work and in general, how the networking works within those communities and what really drives people to contribute and to cooperate in those in that type of community.
That's awesome. Thank you. Vanessa, would you introduce yourself, please?
So I'm Vanessa Vallely, residing in the UK, 25 years in corporate technology, left around 7 years ago to build my own community for women to help them to access resources that can develop their careers. So do a lot of it in the networking space. I speak about it as a public speaker. I've drawn together communities of women in tech, women across a multitude of industries, but I also run something called Gender Networks, which brings together all of the chairs and the co-chairs of a multitude of different women's networks across 95 different firms. So very much different communities for different things, but the whole intention around bringing people together for the greater good.
Awesome. Thank you. And Jason, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
I'm Jason Baum, the Director of Membership for DevOps Institute. I recently joined DOI back in December. I'm very excited because we are launching a brand new membership program at DevOps Institute. And prior to that, I've spent the last 15 years in the nonprofit sector working for trade associations, professional associations. If it's an association, I've done it. I've served all aspects of the association, whether it be from marketing to operations to everything but finance, I'll say that. don't ask me to do any calculations, but and membership and chapters, chapter work. So it's something that's very passionate to me. I've spent the better part of my career doing it. And prior to that, I was in the entertainment field because that makes sense. And I've worked for MTV networks and the like. So
awesome. Thank you. So each of you represents a different kind of community, a really distinct kind of community. You know, Andre looking at it from more of a technical perspective, an open source opportunity to connect engineers and others, you know, particularly in the Jenkins community. And I've had some opportunity. Vanessa really connecting women, right? So looking at it from a professional perspective, but also trying to find a group that resonates with each other. And I belong to several women's group as well. And Jason, you represent more of a professional association a community, which again has a little bit of a different spirit and a flavor. But let's level set, right? Let's talk about why it's important to find a community or communities. It isn't just you find one, hopefully you find more than one to be able to develop that human connection. And while you're discussing that, why don't you give us your perspective on, say, the difference between an association, a community, and the importance of networking. So Vanessa, you've run so many different communities. Why don't you start there? Why is it important to connect with communities, with associations to be able to do that networking? How does it help humans?
So I think, I mean, first of all, it's integral to your career. We need people, right? You're not going to get ahead without people. And we need people for a multitude of things. You know, if you're just going to sit at your desk all the time and be trapped in the doing all the time, you know, you're not getting out there and you're not making those connections. You know, how do you plan your future around that? So I'm a true believer in, and again, the word networking scares people. You know, it's just the art of building a relationship with another human being. So creating safe spaces or spaces where people have a commonality or a common goal, or, you know, it's around a certain industry. You know, I think that breaks down the fear of being in the room with other people when we've immediately got something in common. We both work in the same sector. So from that perspective, you know, absolutely, I think integral to all of our career journeys to make those connections and to see where we can help other individuals, but obviously gain opportunities for us to learn from them. So I think back to my own kind of first community, there was a few people that were in that room at the time that went on to become mentors of mine. For example, there were nuggets of information that I picked up in that community that I was able to replay back to my organization. There were other connections in the room that perhaps weren't necessarily useful to me at that particular time, but they were really useful to people that I knew that were seeking those mutual connections. So from that perspective, you know, it's an absolutely fantastic way of learning new things and meeting new people.
And I think you're really hitting on it. For example, you're sitting in the UK right now, I'm sitting in Florida, right? We've never met in person, right? But we have a connection I think, you know, extends beyond this panel today. And I think that's one of the coolest things about virtual communities is that you can meet people from all over the world while you're still sitting in your office or in your living room. Let me follow up with a question for you about that, because from your introduction, you are building community of communities, which I also think is really interesting. Talk a little bit about that.
So for example, with gender networks, 11 years ago when I was back in corporate, I'd gone to an event where this particular investment manager had invited all of its clients to come and show and tell what they were doing for women. So this is quite progressive, because gender wasn't really on anyone's agenda back 11 years ago, and diversity wasn't even a term. So there was about four companies in the room that were talking about various different events and initiatives they were doing to help attract, retain and develop their female talent. And at the end of that meeting, all of these companies got up ready to leave, and that was it. And I thought, well, this is crazy, because we're all trying to solve the same problem. So I decided to create what was then called the Network of Networks. So a mothership that would sit across these four organizations that would keep them together. So I would do the admin to make sure that we kept talking and making sure that we had meetings where we could share best practice and kind of be a sounding board. Because sometimes running a network is a really lonely space. You know, it's something that you do, you know, you don't have, it's generally a side of the desk for a lot of the women that were kind of in that room in their day jobs. And that grew, and it grew to 40 companies, it grew to 50 companies as agenda become kind of more on people's agenda. And today it's 95. So the biggest part of that is hearing what everyone's trying to do and the leverage that those companies get. So for example, one company wanted to do a reverse mentoring program, and they came to the group and they said, look, we don't know how to do it, but we know that consultants are going to charge us 20K, you know, you could British pounds in order to put a program together. And there was like five companies went, we've done it, we'll help you, we'll give you the model and save the company 20K. So it's all of that kind of leveraging of experiences, leveraging of, you know, we're all trying to achieve the same goal. So I'm a big fan of, and if anything, that's what we do on We Are The City and on We Are Tech Women, because we promote for all the different networks. And for an example, there are 2,000, bear in mind the UK is tiny compared to you guys, but there are 2,000 women's networks that we know of alone that are multi-industry, and each of them have communities of thousands. So bringing those all together, so that anyone who comes to my websites, for example, or comes to us, can make an informed choice about what community they join. And that's outside the other things that we're going to talk about, like membership organizations or professional associations and stuff like that. But they have a safe space where they can network with people that are in their industry that have got common sets of goals.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you, because you segued me really great to Jason to talk about professional associations, professional membership associations. So Jason, why do or should people join professional associations? And again, knowing that there are dues that may be associated with it, that it's a little bit of a different flavor, but still a safe space. Why do or should people consider joining professional associations?
Yeah, I think Vanessa just summed it up so well. I mean, it's the same could be said for societies that might be centered on gender or organizations that are meant to, or clubs or things that are centered around maybe like interests that could be applied towards business goals. I've used this quote before, so people who know me might have heard this before. Luckily, many of you don't know me. But JFK said it really well, a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's probably the number one reason why these organizations exist, is to empower. And whether that be if it's for women to empower other women, or if it's for like-minded career interests, whatever that might be, that is the end goal of these organizations, these associations, these societies, unions, you name it. There's a million names and there's thousands of them, and they exist for all different types of interest groups or professional organization or professional industries. And I think this model has been around for a long, long time. And it's because it works. It's because when you find out when there's power in numbers, that's when things get done. So for professional organizations or trade organizations, it might be on the advocacy front. There might be issues that we need to push forward as an industry because it's something that's impacting us. I mean, just recently I have some experience with tariffs that I never really had thought about until these past few years. It could be in the healthcare industry trying to push forward certain things. I mean, there's a variety of reasons, but at the end of the day, it's if you're professionally trying to join an association, it's for yourself. Number one, what's in it for me? How am I going to benefit? And that could be in a multitude of ways, but at the end of the day, it's probably trying to find that next career leap. It's your career goals. It's where do you see yourself in 5 years? Who do you want to attach yourself to? Who's that network? What is that network you need to build? And to Vanessa's point, networking is a scary word to many people. I never realized that. I'm a social person by nature. There's the Seinfeld joke about the number one fear of people is speaking in public, and number two is death. So that means you'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. And I always think about that. And for me, it's not something that I really thought about before until I started to network and people were telling me I'm so afraid of networking. But really, the same people who were telling me that might be at a conference with like 10 people at a table having coffee because these are people they've known for years. That's networking. But people don't like that word, and they tell me that they're not networkers. But we all are. We all have that in our nature. It's just finding your right tribe, and that's what an association's all about.
But, it's interesting because listening to the two of you speak, to me, there is a little bit of a difference, right? Now, again, probably because of what you represent, but in a professional association, Jason, you once told me before we started recording that you had joined an association early on in your career because you wanted to network with people that were more advanced in their career so that you could grow yourself that way. So professional associations, to me, anyhow, and we can debate this, seem to be more industry or role specific, whereas what Vanessa is describing, and I'm going to get to Andre with the Jenkins community, is more finding a community regardless of industry, regardless of vertical, regardless of who you are, where you are, and what you're trying to achieve, women connecting with women, retired people connecting with retired people, right? So it isn't that one is better than the other, but from a professional association, it's usually because from a career growth, you are looking for finding a niche or multiple niches. We may belong to multiple professional associations. What do you think about that?
I think getting into them is probably the difference why you got into it. But I think once you've found the right one, I think that's when it kind of all comes together and you get those the benefits that I was talking about and that Vanessa was talking about, because you might be involved, like your example of what I told you about my reason for joining an association for association executives. When I first got into associations, it was a lofty goal for myself. But, you know, I knew what I wanted professionally, and I knew to get there, I needed to build my network. And I knew I needed to meet other people who are involved in associations professionally and learn from them and find out why they were as passionate about it as I wanted to be, and just roll up my sleeves and get involved. And that's the key to associations, is your level of involvement. You can belong to an association doesn't mean anything unless you're doing something in that association and meeting those people. So there is a key to that. And then once you do, that's when it kind of all comes together, and the similarities between what Vanessa was talking about and what I'm talking about, it is finding that tribe at the end of the day. And your reasons for joining is usually the difference.
And it's usually because you've chosen a career path. Like I wouldn't have joined the association. I wouldn't join AICPA. Right, the Association of Certified Public Accountants. My husband belongs, right? But I'm not an accountant, so I wouldn't even consider joining that. I wouldn't join the American Medical Association, right? But I would join DevOps Institute because, again, I'm in the IT space, or I belong to several others. I probably would join Vanessa's communities because women connecting with women. So I do think there is, I don't know if we want to call it a commitment, but part of it. But Andre, let's go to the Jenkins community as a really great example of almost an organic community, right? People that are kind of focused on either the same product or like user groups, things like that, that people join because they're looking to peer-to-peer connections in a particular technology or area. How did that grow, and kind of what's the secret sauce there?
Yeah, so I think Vanessa hit on it earlier. It's common purpose, right? Everybody who joined the Jenkins community had a common purpose of how to make their job easier and more streamlined. That's how the whole Jenkins community got started, over 10 years ago. Developers were writing a lot of code, but then to get that code, you know, where it was ready for production, took a lot of mundane tasks and work and took them away from writing that next bit of great code. And, you know, the amazing Kosuke Kawaguchi started the Jenkins community to solve that problem. How can we automate a lot of those mundane tasks that we all spend a lot of time doing so that we can get back to the real job of writing great code? And that became the center point, right? That became the guiding light of the Jenkins community. And from there, you know, the community got formed, and, you know, with a common set of goals, and everybody understood those common set of goals and objectives of the community. And I think that is what fosters that contribution, which is another important aspect of a community. You can't just have, you know, people in a community that are just there to receive. You got to have people that are contributing. You're not going to get everybody to contribute, but the larger portion of the community that you can have contributing, the more active and vibrant that community's going to be, and the better the quality and innovation that's going to come out of that community.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to me when we look at communities like the Jenkins community or some of these user groups, very large user groups that have grown up over time. Part of the goal, part of the objective is to learn from each other, right? Mm-hmm. You learn so much from, you know, your implementation or, you know, but hearing from others how they're doing it. So you're right, it's a give and take, right? Here's how we're doing it, or I have a question. Can somebody else answer it? If you look at these community forums that have grown up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, more specifically in the Jenkins community, you know, there were like, you know, a small percentage of highly active contributors. Then you had a larger percentage of generally active people. And then, of course, you had people who were just there looking. But, you know, each of those groups have a role to play, right? And so people are contributing code, and then maybe others are simply reviewing that code, trying that code, testing that code. Is it working for me? You know, providing feedback. So, you know, different folks with different levels of contribution to the community can all play a role.
Yeah, and I had something just on the point. I just think that like Andre's community and my community are very, very similar. And when Jason was talking about earlier, from a UK, I'm going to just give you a UK perspective. People tend to join associations here in the UK because it's almost like a bit of a badge of honor as well to say I'm really serious about my industry and I'm really serious about my career. And obviously you have the benefit of knowing when you go to that association, you are guaranteed to have people in your industry, you know, in your sector. Whereas, and I think the same's with Andre, whereas with mine, I could meet all sorts of people that the only common denominator is that we're all women. So you get to have like a multitude. So I just wanted to point out the kind of the difference in how we see associations. So I remember when I first started off in banking, I looked for a banking association because I wanted to tell my boss that I was, you know, I was a member of the banking because there was a prestige announced that, you know, it doesn't have the same kind of gravitas as when you say, oh, I'm part of a network. That just means I'm interested in it. And I think the association badge means I'm really serious about this. You know, I'm kind of doing it because often or not as well with the network side, it's we don't have to pay unless it's a big event. But with the association, there's fees, right? Which is important. And you want to get the benefit out of that association or that membership. So just to kind of, you know, it's just interesting listening to the different ones, but just to give you a UK perspective on, and I don't know if it's the same as with you guys in the US, but that's tend to be why we join associations, because, you know, we want the badge, but we want to engage with people that are in our own sector.
That's a really good point. And yeah, we had membership dues, and the dues is a great difference right there, right? So there's the value proposition of an association membership. And the value is to the person who is joining, to their employer usually, and then to the association as well. So, and the greater community. So every time someone joins, because it's building up that community within that industry. For the employer, they're hoping that they can build their talent within. And for the employee, it's building their own career. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And some enterprises join, right? I'm sorry to jump in, but Jason, some enterprises choose to join associations on a corporate level.
Well, yeah, I mean, trade associations. Yeah, I mean, that's really for the good of the industry at that point.
Yeah, or for the good of their employees, right? So that's
and their employees,
that they offer their employees. That's great. Mm-hmm. Vanessa, what were you going to say? I'm sorry,
It was exactly that point around, you know, you'd very rarely get an organization to pay for you to have membership to a network, but you would definitely get your organization to pay for, you know, for that kind of that different, for a membership kind of community, especially when, you know, the prestige that comes with saying that you're a member of that kind of organization. So corporates are more likely to pay for you to do that, to develop their teams in a membership form, rather than I'm just going to pay for you to go networking.
But let's not minimize the importance of communities and networking. And for each of you, I want to kind of now kind of pivot. We talked a lot about the career growth that's associated with that, and that's important. But there's a very social side to communities and associations. I mean, some of my closest friends, my former business partner, I met because we stood up a chapter together of an association that we both belong to. So there's a social and psychological, I think, Vanessa, I think you really kind of pointed out the psychological, but what about the social side? Andre, looking at the Jenkins community, right? You know, what was the social benefits of participating in that community?
I think that it was a sense of belonging, right? So, you know, they all understood each other because they were all had similar roles in their own organizations. I think that also on a social side, they loved to get together and really be able to share what they were each doing, best practices. Because I think that, at least specifically in the technology world, one of the great things about various communities is you get to accelerate either your knowledge, or you get to avoid pitfalls that others before you have hit. And I think that the social aspect helps you to build trust amongst your peers, and for them to share. And I think it's that sharing aspect that is so important in communities, relying on the members of the community to share with others, you know, what they've learned, and that's how people can avoid some of the pitfalls that others who have come before them may have fallen into, but others now can avoid those pitfalls.
And you said something I think particularly important about people liking to get together, right? So one of the nice things about communities and associations is local, right? Local chapters, local events. Local
beer and pizza. That's what drives developers, beer and pizza.
Beer, pizza, and a willing venue, right? But,
exactly.
But I think that's important.
And a hot topic.
Yeah, really. And a topic. But truthfully, most of the reason people go there, at least in my experience, is you bring in an amazing speaker, and that's great, but people talk to each other. Right. And if you eat together and you what is it? Break bread together. Yeah. You're now friends. So there is a need. There's a human need to be in the same place and to fulfill that. And I think the growth of local chapters, even in the pandemic, we've seen it even at DevOps Institute, that virtual chapters, as much as they're not as fulfilling as beer, and there's, you have to bring your own beer and pizza, but that human connection need on a social, a psychological, and a professional perspective is absolutely there. And I'm hoping next year we could see more about that. Right. Jason, talk a little bit about chapters, because I know you have some experience in that.
Yeah, I'm so passionate about chapters. That's how I got my start in associations. That's why I've 15 years later still involved in association work, is because of what I experienced on the chapter level. I had the luxury of my first position within associations. I worked for 8 different chapters, building them up. And then my second position in associations was actually building out a chapter program of 17 chapters throughout the world. I think that at the end of the day, chapters are really the heartbeat of associations. They are the feet on the boots on the ground. They are the true pulse. Andre said it the best. I mean, it's beer, pizza, and good conversation. And it's funny because it depends on the industry. And I've worked for financial organizations where we cater to strictly just CFOs and controllers and high level finance. And then I've worked for bank associations, and each one is a different chapter experience. One might be more into golf outings and one might be more into really high-end holiday parties. But at the end of the day, what they all have in common is they want that in-face, the in-person. And I know that the virtual chapter is a thing. It's been evolving over the past few years. It was a thing 15 years ago. We didn't really know how to do it right. Now I think we've got it. Certainly the past year has taught all of us how to live in isolation, socially, which is a strange concept, but we've kind of nailed that at this point. But now I think with the hopefully hope on the horizon, then I think we're going to have a big mass return to in-person gatherings. And I think the chapter format is going to be really important in that, and is going to be successful again, because people want to get together. They want to break bread. And like you said, they want to see a really great speaker too, and have that side conversations with people that they might have known for years. Or if it's your first one, you're probably petrified of going, and you're hoping you find someone to latch onto while you're at the bar. And then that fosters a relationship, hopefully over the next few years. And it's just this cycle that just keeps going. In the association world, we have the saying, you don't reinvent the wheel. And there's a reason for that. And it's because it has proven to be successful for over a century.
And it's social, right? It's social. You go to a local event because you do get to know people, and chapters that meet every month or every other month, you really start to look forward to seeing familiar faces and asking about their families and finding out how their job is going, or, venting. Right. Oh my God, I had such a horrible day. But these are people that you have a brain trust with, but you're also safe. I think, Vanessa, you said that really well. And I'm going to turn to you on the social side of it, that it's safe. You feel that it is an environment where You can, you know, obviously you don't want to disrespect your employer, you know, you don't want to do anything that is, but it is safe. And there are people that care about each other. There is a social side to that. Vanessa, talk about the social side of communities, particularly a community like yours where women are connecting with women and they're talking about successes, but maybe some challenges and maybe a little bit of venting too. I mean, I know I've vented in the past to some of my peers, male and female, but understanding that, you know, I feel safe doing that.
Well, first of all, we don't really do beer and pizza. We do cheese and wine.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a thing at the moment, obviously we're still in lockdown and things like that. We can't wait to get out. It's like, we're planning like mass group cuddle events where, you know, for no purpose whatsoever, let's just get in the room and kind of chew the fat. So I think, and especially being in London, I mean, there you can go to the opening of an envelope every night. There are so many different events to attend. So we've really missed it. And I think people will be, I'm with Jason, I think there'll be a mass kind of push around those physical events for a good 12 months before it kind of pulls back a little bit. But it is that community space. It is a place to vent. It is a place to share challenge. And I know even within my community, friendships have been formed. Jobs have been given, you know, mentorships have happened as a consequence of that. You know, there are sounding boards. And even when I think back, another sub kind of community we have is called Careers Club. And it's just every 3 months, it's a meetup, listen to a speaker. And the ladies that come to that are my award winners on the website. And we have guests that can buy tickets as well. But they will come along and sometimes they fly through the door and I've been promoted and I'm, you know, they're upbeat. And then we have some that turn up and they're in tears. They've, you know, they're looking for our advice for lawyers to kind of help them in their job situation. You know, but that's where they come. And we never put pressure on them to come to every single one. They come when you need us, you know. So whether it's a skill that you want to learn or whether it's, you know, that place where people are going to put their, metaphorically speaking, their arms around you and go, you know, we've got this. And whether that's elevating you up because you've had a success or whether that's kind of pulling you close because you've had a failure, you know, so whatever that is. And I think as humans, we need that. We need that interaction. It's the main thing that we've missed, you know, from my perspective. This time last year, I think we've just as kind of the gates came down, but I had like 15 talks booked to do for International Women's Day. And literally they just fell out, you know. And then since then, doing talks virtually, it's fantastic and you can bring the energy, but there is nothing like being on a stage and getting off and getting in the crowd and talking to people. So I think virtually we've been able to do it. And I truly believe an element of that will remain because it's enabled, for example, companies like mine to be global overnight. And I love that, you know, we're seeing different people, but I think that physical face-to-face connection, you just can't beat that, just being in someone's presence.
And Jay, I just wanted to pick up on that. I think another aspect of communities that's related is diversity, right? Mm-hmm. And diversity in religion, in gender, in color, but also in terms, also geographies, right? One of the most amazing things from that I experienced the Jenkins community when we would get together for the Jenkins user conferences or Jenkins World, is we brought together this global community. We virtually had every country represented around the world. And to be able to recognize that you're part of a community, a global community, right? And we talked about chapters, and that's, you know, geographically, you know, pretty close to you. But when you get together in some of these global conferences and see the amazing people coming from around the world in different countries and hear the differences, but also the similarities in what they're facing and challenges they have. It opens your mind, really, to the fact that, you know, there are many other peoples of many other types that are all contributing to this community. And I think that, you know, that also leads to another important aspect of probably both communities and associations, and that is the need for governance, you know, the need to establish statutes and rules and governance of how, you know, governance of conduct and so forth to ensure that, you know, that the diverse audience that you have is protected and, you know, and that if someone gets out of line, there's a ways to deal with that. So I think those are really important aspects of communities and associations as well.
I think you bring up a couple of really interesting points. First of all, the sense of belonging. I mean, there's a theme from all of us that humans need to belong. And you're right, Andre, when you go to these, you know, national or international events, Vanessa, you said like one big hug, right? Like the first day of some of these events is a little bit of a hug fest. In my space, we used to call it the dysfunctional family reunion. But most importantly, we were family. So I do think that there's a sense of belonging. And when you actually see how big a community that you belong to, it really does make you feel special. But on the other hand, Andre, I think you bring up a good point about codes of conduct, right? That while we would like to believe that everybody acts and behaves the way that they should, you know, particularly vendors, practitioners, individuals, right? You want to make sure that there is a governance that says, listen, this is amazing, but you're expected to behave a certain way. And if you don't, there are rules and policies that potentially will affect you. So let's talk a little bit about governance. So from an association perspective, Jason, governance is important and codes of conduct are significant, right?
Yeah, I mean, governance, geez, that's a whole topic we could spend on a separate webinar. Yeah, I mean, governance is important. I mean, it's important not just for the structure of what you're trying to achieve, keeping the common goal that everyone shares at the top of the light, making like keeping that up there as your center of importance, because we could go all over the place when it comes to like-minded interests. So keeping things in mind, antitrust, making sure that what you talk about isn't shared, making sure that your ideas aren't stolen, making sure that it's a safe space, getting back to kind of goes back to what Vanessa said at the very beginning, making sure that you have a safe space to share what's going on, especially in a professional or trade associations, because you have companies in there. It is generally for business. And then with regards to the makeup of these associations, I mean, I've worked for associations that are 100 plus years old. They were formed potentially for different reasons. Maybe those reasons have evolved over time, who you let in. Generally, what I've been told is, you know, we want to be inclusive with associations, when in reality, associations were created in some ways to keep people out. So loosening the reins sometimes is important, and reestablishing what those articles are of why you created the association in the first place. It's important to look at your governance year over year. And then also succession planning and how you're going to be reaching out to volunteers, because associations are generally only as good as the volunteers who lead them. You know, they're staff, and staff is great. You know, I'm a hired gun at the end of the day for the association. What's going to keep an association alive are the volunteers and those who are members. They're the most important people that you have in an association. So it's being able to make sure that it's sustainable over a long period of time. You don't want to build an association or have an association that's here for just today. You want the associations that are here for forever. I mean, you have some associations that I don't think are going anywhere very fast. So, and they're the ones that have a great value proposition, and then also have a value proposition for their volunteers, and making sure that there's a succession plan to keep them for years over years.
So, and again, we're going to run out of time. So I kind of want to wrap up with two things. First of all, Jason and Andre, you're absolutely right, because one of the things about associations is we have to respect diversity in many, many different ways, including diversity of opinion, right? So we want to respect the fact that people are coming in with different perspectives, different goals, and sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But let's wrap up with just a summary. So in today's environment, you could be invited to join umpteen million different communities, and it can be a little overwhelming, right? Where everybody wants you to subscribe, they want you to become a member, they want you, you know, to attend an event or whatever. And so there's a point where it could be so overwhelming that it becomes paralyzing, right? Because you're just not sure which way to go. So how do you kind of sift through that? How do you find communities? And by the way, it's not just one, right? I belong to multiple associations, I belong to multiple communities, but I tend to pick based on what I'm looking for, not what everybody else thinks I should have. How do you sift through that? Andrea, how do you find your tribe, as Jason put it, or how do you distinguish? How do you choose?
That's great. That's a great question. I know for me personally, I have to segment things in my mind. And so I pick communities that are important to me for different aspects of my life, right? There might be marketing communities that help me keep abreast of what's going on in marketing, right? I pick technology communities that help me keep abreast of what's going on in technology. But I try not to have too many that are similar because, again, to be effective and to be a good community member, you have to contribute. And it takes time and it takes a resource, right? And I'm personally one who can get pretty overloaded if I've got too much information coming at me at one time. So I personally try to limit the various communities that I do associate with, just so I can keep them segmented and organized in my mind. And I understand which one I'm going to go to for which topic or purpose. And that's the way I deal with it.
Interesting. Vanessa, how do you choose? How should people choose their communities or their associations?
I think it depends where you are on your journey. So when I look at the kind of associations that I chose earlier on in my career, then as I got kind of more mature, I built up my own networks. So I didn't really feel I needed the association part as much as I did when I was finding my feet in the industry, because then some of us kind of split out and created our own mini network. So I think it's very much what works for you at the time. I definitely, think professional memberships are a good thing. As you say, Jane, you've created friends for life and things like that. I mean, I suppose because I've come out of my industries now, I would have to go to too many in order to service all the industries. But I think you just got to see what works for you. And to also factor in that sometimes life happens in the middle of all this. And you may not necessarily have the time to devote to some of your associations or your networking. And you know what? That's okay. Because they're always going to be there, right? You can always go back and build relationships and rekindle connections and things like that. But I think, to not necessarily sometimes be that prescribed with it, because who knows where life will take you? It's too many variables.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And it's funny because I, like Andre, I try to segment professional communities, social communities, right, to fill that need, even some psychological communities in terms of like, my girl network, right, where, there's that safe space. Jason, how do you choose, particularly on the association side? Because again, you could be asked to not only join, but pay. Lots of different associations.
Yeah, I look at it for myself, how I join an association, how I choose an association. It's at the end of the day, it's how granular do I want to get with my career? How specific do I want to be when it comes to my career goals? Because there's an association for literally everything, I think, right now. So like, for example, I could join a banking association, a lending association, or an asset-based lending association. So I could get super granular depending on what my interests are, and that's okay. And that's just for yourself. It's a very personal thing to ask yourself. Do I know exactly where I'm going, my trajectory, and kind of hit yourself to that? And I agree. I personally, I'm one of those who I like to join one, and mainly because I don't want to spread myself too thin. And if I'm going to get involved, I know I'm getting involved, and I only have so much time commitment. And I work with volunteers, so I know how valuable time is, and I never try to overload someone, and I choose to do that for myself. So when it comes to associations and where you're going to spend your money, it's where do I want to be? Where's the network of people who I'm trying to network with? And then go all in and learn from them, learn from the programs the association has to offer, and go that route.
So Jason, we're going to wrap up with, tell us a little bit about DevOps Institute's new membership association that we're rolling out, our new membership tier that we're rolling out next week, in fact.
Time for the shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. I mean, and being part of a new association membership, that doesn't come around too often. Like I was saying, these associations exist for years and years and years. So it's exciting to be part of a brand new association membership. The premium membership for DevOps Institute is basically taking what we do and just raising the bar, providing savings. Because we know at the end of the day, when you're looking at your professional growth, sometimes we don't invest in ourselves enough. And an association is really trying to push, you do need to invest in yourself. And it's important to invest in yourself. And you know what? Your company's probably going to support you doing it because right now, more than ever, competition is super high. It costs more to attain new talent. There's new talent coming from all over the place. It's much easier to retain the talent you already have. So now's a great time to go out and invest in yourself, or for a company to invest in your talent. And with the DevOps Institute membership, we have a great certification program. We have a new DevOps capability assessment tool that is available for premium members, and a whole slew of other benefits that's available for $199, which is a drop in the bucket. I mean, if you take that and divide it by the number of days, I think it's less than a cup of coffee a day for a membership that who knows where it's going to take you professionally.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. I think this has been a really great conversation, and I'm confident that people listening will come away with inspiration, right? Inspiration to belong, inspiration to grow their careers, inspiration to find communities that resonate with them. So very much appreciated. We'll see you soon. So thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.